Support for Food for Thought comes from the law firm of Manzello & Stritch. Manzello & Stritch, where every good boy does fine.
What about the girls?
Oh, Nancy. Nancy, Nancy, I am so shocked and so disappointed.
What did I do, Stein?
Well, Nancy, it was that gumbo recipe of Max that you printed in the Seattle Times this last week.
And what's your problem, buddy?
Oh, it looked well enough on the face of it. But did you notice anything missing from that gumbo recipe?
Oh, don't start with me, Stein. What did I miss?
Okra.
There's no okra. Okra.
Gumbo means okra. That's where the name of the dish came from. And yet, I see no okra in your gumbo recipe.
Well, you know what? This recipe is Max's recipe, Stein. It's not your recipe. It's not some fine folks down Louisiana ways recipe. It is my husband's recipe. And that is the whole point of the story. So for years, in print, I know I've talked to you about it before. I've talked about Max's Christmas gumbo.
Oh, now, Nancy.
It's a big deal in our house because Matt was born on Christmas Day, and Christmas Day is gumbo day in our house, and it has been for many years. And I've never actually written out the recipe because it takes so long to make. I figured it would take, you know, like six pages to do it.
Yeah, I've never written my gumbo recipe out either.
Well, do you have one? What's yours?
Oh, well, I don't have
okra involved. It
certainly does. Yes, of course it has okra.
We have plenty of filet to make it nice and to have that nice thickener in it.
Oh,
so,
well,
I mean, isn't okra, aside from the flavor, for the thickening agent? See?
You simply cannot achieve that luscious, mucilaginous texture without okra.
And you know, I don't think that's correct.
For those that find it a little bit too slimy, you know, you can just fry it a little bit beforehand and then throw it in. I happen to like okra, but that's...
I love okra. And in fact, I would suggest that you have Max's incredible gumbo, which has many things in it, including gulfrons and chicken, dark meat chicken.
Yeah.
It's got andouille sausage in it. There's the wonderful fresh crab on the top as a garnish. Yeah.
Actually, his recipe is really pretty similar to the way I make it, with a few small exceptions and one large one. And I never have served the rice on top of it as he does. I like that. That's fun. It looks nice.
Max spent, he's spent over the last, of course, the last several years, much time in Louisiana eating gumbo everywhere he goes. He was doing work down there big time for several years running. And so I think that he tried a lot of different things, including the faux roux that they sell you in a jar down there.
Oh, my God.
So one of his buddies sent him that long time. No. He makes the roux the right way. And last Christmas, as a Christmas gift, my sister sent him a roux stick, an honest-to-God roux stick. And what's wonderful about this, I've been using it a lot for different things, is it's got a flat bottom, so you can really scrape the pan with the wood and not ruin your pan.
I can't believe that they could sell one single jar of roux in Louisiana. Who would buy jarred roux in Louisiana?
It's amazing to think that people do it, but when I was down there, I heard that that was not uncommon.
For those who don't know, a roux, R-O-U-X, is the thickening agent for gumbo and a lot of other things, just a 50-50 mix of fat, it could be oil, it could be lard, it could be anything, and flour. And you got to be real careful while you stir it so you don't burn it. With Seattle Times food writer Nancy...
Extra crab, please.
Leeson, I'm Dick Okradoki Stein.